So now onto the good stuff. So a lot of the, what we included in the book was this idea of a decision framework, which is how do I not start from scratch every time I have a new project and correctly frame my problem, know where to go for information, and actually make a good decision. So all of this comes from experience. I think that's the one thing I hated to hear when I started in technology, and now I appreciate is there's just no substitute for the real life work. You just can't pick up a book when you're right out of school and become an expert. You know, having those late nights troubleshooting a BizTalk installation or troubleshooting something in SQL Server, sometimes you just need those war wounds so that you understand in the future how best to tackle those problems. So the decision framework we put together was a lot around what have we experienced in real life? How do we assess a problem and then turn that into the right technology solution? You know, at the end of the day, I'm an architect, and I consider my job to be to find the biggest, hardest part of the solution and to just tackle those. I mean, an architect probably doesn't solve every individual problem. Do I store it in a configuration file or a database? But it, the data integration patterns, you know, the big picture stuff, am I putting my servers on in the cloud or on-premise? You know, one of the first things I do is try to find out what are the hardest decisions and tackle those. So as we looked at our whole framework, it was really around just where do you get all your facts from? How do you figure out the scope of the problem? And we'll talk about that in a moment. Then how do you find those hard decisions and weigh those and prioritize those? So then you can pick, is this a BizTalk? Is this an App Fabric? Is this Stream Insight? Is this Azure? And base that on the right priorities that you're looking at. So requirements. I mean, I don't know about you, but when my requirements come in on a project, typically I almost never get a perfect requirements doc from a business analyst and then turn that right into my solution. So the requirements get fed in from multiple locations there. Throwing me off over there. So first of all, the first place you go, and it's probably the place you're most comfortable with, is the functional requirements. So the functional requirements are simply how does the user expect to interact with the system? You know, this is what we're probably all familiar with when it's, you know, what is the business behavior when they use the application? What do they expect this thing to do? That's your primary source in most cases of how you know what you have to build, is you look at the functional requirements and determine that. The hard part is what I see all the time is my system requirements often hide in there as business requirements. So if your business user said the business requirement is that every night you need to take this flat file and copy it into this database, I would argue that is never a functional requirement. That's a system how you implement something. The requirement might be that that other system needs data from this system on a certain interval. I'll buy that as a functional requirement. But I'm sure we all read system requirements or business requirements that have a lot of that in there. And what that does is that forces us to make choices in technology which might not be optimal because the business user who just didn't, you know, didn't know better, they just did things the way they always did, they restricted your choices. And so especially in this environment now where you have so many choices, you want to, you know, really follow the rule of thumb that if you only have one solution to a problem, you haven't thought hard enough. There should always be two solutions to every problem. At least I try to stick with that. So if your requirements only force you to use one single solution, maybe those aren't the actual business requirements, they're more system focused. So the non-functional requirements, the NFRs, are actually one that often don't get tackled as well. And those are really the things that really shape your solution because these are the quality attributes. This is the availability of the system. This is the security profile. This is the disaster recovery plan, the maintainability. It's all that stuff that typically doesn't get into your business requirement. It simply identifies how should you build a good quality architecture. So these are the questions you ask about how many users are they? Are they mixed around different countries or are they all in one place? Are they accessing it on a mobile device or not? So it's all those things that really help you shape what's, again, what the right technology you're using. Things like this might answer if you put this in the cloud or you keep this on-premise or not. It depends on where your users are, how sensitive is the information. So the non-functional requirements are actually a huge part of how you end up picking a technology choice. Now, getting this is always tricky. You know, sometimes my business analysts will take the worksheet I've given them and they actually ask the business client, you know, what's your recovery point objective for your disaster recovery plan, or what's the data transfer size in kilobytes, and everyone just glazes over and says, I don't know, 100. Right. So the idea is you should be facilitating the discussion so that you're saying, I'm not asking the business client for a DR plan. I'm asking them, how do they do their job if the system is down? So I can understand what would happen if the system collapsed and they had to still try to enter orders in or do something like that. So the derived requirements are sometimes the thing that go unstated, and sometimes they don't need to be stated in the obvious example. is it the things that, you know, they often put into the requirements, but you know because you've worked in that environment that the derived requirements are often, you know, maybe they've told you it's a mobile solution, and you know from your corporate standards that your mobile infrastructure is BlackBerry and Windows Mobile. So that becomes part of your derived requirements, is that this solution has to run on those platforms. So often derived requirements are simply the things you've observed by reading the requirements and pulled out new things. Again, all of these things really form a picture for what technology choice you're going to make. Then finally, you can't leave out the organizational factor. So anytime you make any technology choice, in the back of your mind, hopefully we're all thinking about, is this something that fits in the solution stack? Is this just a departmental thing, or should I be picking a solution that's strategic? Did we just buy something? Are we trying to decommission a particular product so I shouldn't invest in it? Sometimes it's as simple as we have a great, highly paid team of DBAs, and therefore we want to keep things on-premise to keep them busy. I mean, that's a real organizational requirement in some cases. That's not, you take that into account sometimes. So with all of this, our framework then has four dimensions of what, you know, we've included in the book and how we look at every problem. So every use case, we look at four different spots. First, we look at, as you'd expect, solution design. And we'll talk about that just more in a moment. We also look at delivery. So what are we thinking about when we have to actually deliver the solution on the technology? You know, maintenance, clearly a thing that developers don't often think about if they just hand off a solution, but the people who have to live with the day-to-day, that's a huge factor. And then finally, the organization strategy. So what we've done is we've put a series of questions underneath each one of these so that you could potentially ask yourself this on each individual problem, each individual scenario, and figure out what technology is the right choice. So if we look at the solution design stuff, this is really the first thing you're probably doing in your solution as you're looking at things like data integration. Is this something where I have huge data volumes or not? Are you dealing with, you know, giant bursts of data or not? Do I have large data sets? Am I getting a gigabyte file from a partner, or is it all these individual little messages back and forth? Do I have to worry about real time? Or is this the sort of system that's going to expect long-running batches or things that happen twice a day? And then data quality. Do I care about data quality features like deduplication or enrichment from an external source? So all the data integration stuff that you take into account, which will help you decide, is this a BizTalk sort of messaging solution? Is it a shared database we're all going to point to? Is it an SSIS ETL solution? So again, that's kind of the first thing we look at is data integration, is what's that strategy there? Secondly, of course, security. Do I need single sign-on? Do I need multiple authentication options or not? Do all the components run on different machines so I can put them under different security domains? Maybe one component needs full admin rights on the box, the other ones don't. So can I separate those out, or do they all have to live on the same box? Error handling, of course. Is this something that can be predictable if the solution completely crashes? Is failure and recovery something that's very prescriptive in the application? Do I need that? And some of the overall stuff. Is it a flexible solution built for change? Sometimes you don't need those things. You don't need a flexible solution because it's going to go in and it never changes and it's going to run for 5 years and who cares? So each one of these is going to have that weighting where you're going to look at this and go, I don't really need robust security options. It's a back office application with one system account and that's all it needs. So I think the key is knowing which of these to care about and which ones to skip. So when you look at actual, now anything you guys would include on that I might have not. When we look at design, you know, we looked again at some simple things there around data integration, security, error handling, and overall things. But one thing we'll talk about at the end of this is this is just kind of a baseline. We would expect that you would take this and do your own thing with it and add and subtract from it. Okay? So for solution delivery, clearly resources, and that's one factor that played into a lot of our patterns, is what's the technology you have in-house? If you're a SQL shop or you're a .NET shop, is picking up BizTalk fairly easy? Some cases. If you're a .NET shop or Windows shop, is running Server App Fabric fairly simple? Yeah, I mean, for the most part, because it runs in IIS. But if you don't have those technologies, how much is it to ramp up someone on BizTalk? You know, that's how people like Alan make their living, is doing training. So clearly there is a ramp up that you expect people to do. So if you're not a BizTalk shop, how much does that factor in? Then obviously all the construction pieces is, do you need the robust tooling? Do you need all the plugins available online on CodePlex? Do you expect that people have already written tons of blogs on the topic so that when you get that obscure error code, you can just throw that into your search engine of choice and get back an answer? Because sometimes even that's the underrated stuff. These new technologies are great, but you know, something like Stream Insight, it's a crapshoot to try to actually get real information back on the search engine. You know, 12 people are writing blogs on it. It's much different than BizTalk, where you've got the blogger's guide. You've got all these different things that came out where there is hundreds and hundreds and thousands of articles that, for the most part, solve your problems. So it really depends on, you have to factor this in sometimes when you make a choice, is what's your skill set and what information is out there for you. So then we got into operations. We also looked at a few pieces here, specifically things like performance. So can I do low latency or not? Is that something I can tune after the fact? If we go live and then find out that our performance needs have kicked up, can administrator tune this? Can they actually flip some switches and get high throughput? And then how does it handle load? So, if, you know, in your BizTalk environment, if all of a sudden you go from so many messages per second to twice as many, what happens to the infrastructure? Does it scale nicely or does the whole thing completely collapse? When you get an availability, I mean, again, you have to wonder if you need some of these things, but it's load balancing, it's failover, it's zero message loss. So factoring all those pieces in as well and figuring out, again, do you need all of that? And some of the overall operations, the support tooling. That's one thing you'll find with Microsoft with the last few software releases of new technologies is the platform seems to come first, not the tooling. So sometimes I think we take for granted that something like BizTalk has a fairly mature administration interface. You see AppFabric's interface, which now looks like BizTalk Lite. You know, it's not there yet. Stream Insight doesn't really have a great administrative interface. Azure is still pretty weak on some of the web-based admins. So the Microsoft trend seems to be get the tooling out there first, get the platform really mature, and then eventually we'll throw on some great tooling. Again, you have to factor that in for operations as you might be handing off a very tricky to manage solution. So then the last part is the organization, and we included a number of questions on this in the book, which is things like compatibility with existing products. This is something that's going to just sit in my landscape and play nicely with the other things. Again, if I throw BizTalk in and I'm already a SQL Server, IIS, Windows sort of shop, that's a pretty nice play. If I'm not, is that a different factor? So looking at what you already have in place from a technology standpoint might influence if you pick a particular solution or not. Naturally, cost. Nothing's free. Even the free things aren't always free. So is this something you already have in-house and you don't have to buy new? Do you need to buy some new things? You have to factor in training costs, developer costs, all of that. Then finally, of course, speed. Is this something that I have to get out quickly and I have to pick one technology or over the other because one technology is just slower to develop through? So in our case, we really, again, took this framework and figured out that you have to weigh this sort of stuff because all of these factors, clearly you're not thinking about every time you do a new solution. You're factoring in some of these each time, and then you're weighing them and saying data integration is more important than availability because in my case it doesn't matter as much. It's a 9-to-5 sort of application. So the key is to take all of this, weigh it, figure out what matters to you, and then pick the right technology from this. Now, when we started this project, we had talked about, is there just a giant flow chart we can build that says, yeah, I have this question, great, it's SSIS. You know, or this, it's BizTalk. And we realized that you just can't pull that off because there's too many competing factors that play into this that to trivialize it and say, if you're doing batch processing, it must be SSIS. I'm sure all of us have done batch processing in BizTalk before because it was a better fit for the scenario. So it just doesn't lend itself to really elementary forks in a flowchart to pick a technology, is that we all have to apply some best practices, good knowledge, past experience to pick the right technology. So the point being there that our framework isn't, you know, you take the questions we've provided and that's all you ask. Obviously, you guys all bring in your own experiences and you might have other design criteria, other criteria in your company that then factor into how you actually decide which technology to use. So from the book side, hopefully we're just providing you the foundation and you do whatever you'd like with that. So with that, I think we're actually ready to jump into the first piece of that in the SQL side.